Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis. Happy to have Steven sitting next to me. It's September 24th, 2008.
Episode 2.12, Jeffrey.
Now, you've been playing hurt, and you've been at like 50%, 45%, 40%. Where are you at tonight?
I don't know. It's not very high. That's all I know.
Is it above 30?
Probably.
Do I need to drive you home?
I should go home now, actually.
Okay. Well,
but
that was it.
Before we do that, we're going to have Naz in here. We're going to talk about all the injuries that are already affecting teams all over the week.
And why does it have to start on week four with all the byes?
Bye weeks.
Jeez.
Six teams, not just four. Six.
And all the injuries.
And big name teams, New England Patriots, Indianapolis Colts, New York Giants. And we'll get all of that into, and especially talking to Detroit Lions. They're on a bye. And
but they're very busy despite being on a bye.
That's right. They're looking for a new general manager there. We'll get to all of this in a moment.
Championships. Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
All right, Jeffrey. So obviously, I am playing hurt. I am not feeling well at all. So we're going to get right to it today. We're going to get Naz in here, and we're going to get his clicks and flicks and some of his information regarding all of these injuries, because the Eagles got a lot of injuries. Steelers got a lot of injuries. And even some of the teams that are off, such as the Colts and the Lions,
paging dealing any with Manning quarterback. Paging a Manning quarterback.
And obviously the New York Giants, since you're talking about the Mannings, suspending Plaxico Burress.
Sort of.
We'll suspend him for 2 weeks, but we're on a bye for 1 week.
And the reason we're suspending him is because he won't come to team meetings, which we're not having any team meetings that week. So is that a suspension or is that a reward? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's a suspension.
Maybe
where
it's reverse psychology.
Where it's a suspension where he's not getting paid.
Okay. Well, you know what? Guys care about the blame.
Yes, they do care about it. And from our understanding, and Naz will talk about this in a moment as well, he's appealing the suspension. Filing a grievance.
Oh.
It's a grievance.
Oh.
It was a family emergency.
And he can't be reached by any sort of...
He didn't have his phone with
him. He didn't have a flashlight to send an SOS. He didn't have... I'm sorry. In this day and age, I could launch a satellite into outer space within 48 hours if I needed to.
Wow. A satellite?
Well, I've got help. I got family who know people.
Who do that.
Okay. They build satellites. Okay.
Yeah, there
so
you
that's,
go.
But hey. Hey.
So not everybody could launch.
Not everybody could do that, but enough people could. Let's get him in here right now.
All righty.
With us once again from Henderson, Nevada, is Michael Nazarek, President, CEO of Fantasy Football Masterminds, and what we affectionately refer to as giving you...
the Mastermind Edge.
Michael, you out there?
Yes, I am. How's it going, guys?
Woohoo!
Going pretty good. Hanging in there. I'm
Steven
alive
is
this
back
week.
With us, barely, in body. We don't know about spirit. But in body.
I'm here.
He's sitting in the chair, and so far he's sitting upright. He hasn't fallen over yet once.
Yes. So I may die.
Can you guys believe that we're like almost at the quarter
the
mark
quarter
of
pole.
The season?
No, it stunned me.
Pole is here, and how about having to deal with Patriots, Colts, Giants, Seahawks, and who cares about the Lions?
Oh, my.
Lions and Dolphins. But six teams right off the bat, and you got like two of the best teams out this week.
Yeah.
This is the huge bye week of the season. This is the week that we all wanted
one.
To prepare everybody. You know, you got to have replacements. I mean, this is why you draft deep for your team back in the summer, and this is also why you work the waiver wire. You should have been looking ahead a week or two. Like if you got a kicker, it's off this week. Like Vinatieri for the Colts hadn't been doing very well last week. I picked up Ryan Lindell in one league. I picked up Ryan Longwell in another one. So you know that's the kind of moves you got to do.
But then
and
you
in
added
one
that
league,
on the injuries.
Go in
ahead.
One league, I have. Are you ready for this? Reggie Wayne.
Boy.
Calvin Johnson and Plaxico Burress.
Hey there. That's certain to get you 0 points.
Well, fortunately, I'm making some nice trades right now. And
you drafted that team, all those three guys. I mean, those are great guys, but I mean, I can see drafting the first two and not worrying about the bye, but the third one.
The third one was kind of like an impulse. It was the third one was Calvin Johnson.
Those impulse buys are hard to lay off.
He was an impulse buy. He was. Because he was there so late.
You're at the checkout counter.
And I'm thinking to myself.
Like, oh, look, gum for 99 cents. Do I like gum? It's only 99 cents.
I didn't even think to look at his buy. All I know is it's the ninth round, and it's like.
And he's still on the board.
It's Calvin Johnson.
Pull the trigger.
The ninth round? When did you guys do this draft? Was this back in July?
No, it was mid-August.
Sometime in August.
Wow. We drafted right before the season, and Calvin Johnson, everyone was drinking the Kool-Aid, and, of course, he's really lived up to the hype, but he was going in the third round in some of the drafts that I participated in.
And that's why I could not pass up on him. I was so shocked that he was still sitting there, and I'm like, well, I got to take him.
I'll deal with the consequences of the buys.
Of course,
when it comes
here
up.
I am. I'm dealing with the consequences. But I've got a nice little trade. I'm trading Jamal Lewis. Running back for the Browns, I'm trading him for Cotchery.
So, there
you go. If you're deep at running back, then you just solved the problem.
I am deep at running back, so I just solved the problem here. And then the other wide receiver that I have, although I'm not too happy about playing him this week, but it's Patrick Creighton. So I'm
boy,
just going
to... Sure,
oh, yeah,
we'll
get to this later. I think he's on my flick list this week.
Yeah, you know. You can't make Steven laugh, by the way. That's where he starts wheezing and things.
Yeah, and dying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
His doctor needs to – this is a no-fun show.
You know
tonight.
What? So this week I'll deal with Cotchery and Patrick Creighton, and then I'll deal with it. And then I won't
hopefully he'll get at least one pass thrown his way.
Yeah, and then I won't have to really worry about buys anymore as far as the wide receivers are concerned.
That's the good thing. If you got all your guys off, like half your team off in 1 week, the good thing is that you're basically going to have them all on your team unless a certain player gets suspended. Like, we'll talk about that, I guess, a little bit here. But you get all the other guys for 15 weeks.
The remainder
really
of
nice.
The season. So just to reiterate, the teams that have buys this week is the Detroit Lions, the Indianapolis Colts, the Miami Dolphins, the New England Patriots, New York Football Giants, and the Seattle Seahawks.
And what I love about that is that the New England Patriots have to stew around for a whole 2 weeks after getting blown out.
And Miami gets to strut around
for
two weeks.
Yeah.
And go, we beat you. We beat you in your own stadium.
I know. New England Patriots
in
fans,
Foxborough.
They just tuned out, but that's okay.
Oh, well.
You know what was interesting about that is that the last team to beat the Patriots in the regular season
was the
Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
Way back then, you know.
We covered that
21 games ago.
We covered that Monday night show. You should listen to our show. It's really good. So let me quickly transition us. Why not, Steven, can you hit bang us into injuries? We need a ship all banged up and a hit bang,
okay,
I think.
We
need both.
So we're talking injuries.
Injuries.
Ship all banged up.
That's right. Well, I'm going to go alphabetical by city. Okay. So we'll start in Buffalo, where wide receiver Roscoe Parrish had surgery on his thumb on Tuesday and will be out probably until week 9. Not
this
good.
Sounds very similar to the Marcus Colson injury.
Does it not?
Yes, it does. It's supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm telling everyone out there, listen to me, Josh Reed. They play the St. Louis Rams this week. And I'm expecting a big game out of Lee Evans, but there's plenty of balls to go around. And I think Josh is going to get his. He actually led the team with six catches last week. And I think he's going to score this week. It'd be a great sneak fantasy play.
Okay.
And you could probably still get him on most waiver wires.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I picked him up myself this week in one, and I'm going to try to do one tomorrow, so hopefully not many people are going to listen to this overnight. Otherwise, I mean, I've got one of my competitors out there listening, then they might beat me to the punch here. But this is something that I think is a great opportunity, especially in this bye week.
Okay. And the Philadelphia Eagles got a couple problems. They got wide receiver Brian Westbrook.
Running back said
his injury was close to a high ankle sprain is the best way he could describe it.
Those are bad.
Although all tests have come back negative.
Good for him.
When you're a running back like Brian Westbrook, you count on those ankles working.
And sources
and
say he was walking around limping today.
But he was on crutches yesterday.
But today he was not limping.
Yeah. So those high ankle sprains are something that can come and go, and you don't know until you really go to try and make a cut.
But hey,
one.
Naz, did you hear this? Today's practice for the Eagles, no McNabb, no Westbrook, no Curtis. No, I mean, it's like half their team was gone. No LJ Smith,
Yep.
Like all the starters
Was Hank Basket there?
Yes, he was really there.
Good.
I think Hank was there. Smith's really the mystery injury, and he's got that back injury, and we don't know exactly when it happened. It may have happened when he was diving in the end zone for that, like, I think one target that he got in the game, and I say that with a little bit of trepidation because I have him on a couple teams, although I didn't start him last week. He started to fade. He does not play well when he's hurt. So, you know, even if he comes back and practices a little bit later on this week, I'd be very hesitant to put him in the lineup. Westbrook, they keep saying, well, he's optimistic he might play. Andy Reid says it's going to be a race, you know, to get him on the field. I don't think he's going to play. I think that they've got enough confidence in Carl Buchholter starting Lorenzo Booker to come in off the bench and provide the change of pace, and that they're going to go with those guys this weekend. Dominic McNabb, of course, got the chest injury, but he's going to gut it out and play. He'll probably practice later on this week.
Okay, yeah, I've got the chest bruise down there, and now we move to the Detroit.
Who cares about them? They're on a bye.
John Kitna, though, with his knee sprain, is unlikely to be ready coming out of the gate. But you know what? Under new management, so we got that going for us. Woo-hoo!
All I have to say is it's about time.
Michael, I have heard numerous pundits today, and no one has put it better than you. I must say, in your little status report that you wrote, I have my email closed on purpose because I don't want to hear it beep when I get a new email. But you wrote something to the effect of, perhaps you have it right in front of you, I wish I could stink at my job for 7 years and still keep it.
You like that quote, huh?
Dude, it was that's bulletin board material for my house. I just put that up. Do you have the exact quote? Because you worded it very, very well. I was...
Oh, my gosh. Let me take a look here. I should know it off the top of my head.
No, because it was very well written. Things like that, you actually try a couple times.
Here it is. This is it says three words. It's about time. I wish I could be such a loser at my job and keep it for 7 years. Good riddance. See, the bottom line, guys, here is that I can have a semi-bad year or maybe a year, you know, that I'm not giving the greatest advice or whatever.
Or a week and maybe, like last week where you gave crappy
advice. That's right. And kind of get away with it. But, I mean, if I just sucked continually and given advice, you know, I mean, I would lose all my subscribers in, like, 2 or 3 years, and I would be out of business. So
you'd have a couple of friends that would still hang in there with you probably, hopefully, maybe.
Maybe 10 of them. I don't know. But it's interesting that it's the son of William Clay Ford, Sr., to actually come out to the press and say, hey, I think he should step down, you know, but I don't have the power. I'm sure that that his father wasn't too great about that going out public there, but then they started looking at it and go, look, what is he like? I don't know the record in front of me. Something like
32 and 84.
No, I actually think Naz was actually quoting the senior Ford and saying, I don't know exactly what our record is. I think that's how it happened.
You're 0-3.
He's like, I don't what how I mean, I've heard rumors that he's not doing real well in his job. How bad could it be? And then they bring in the numbers and they show him a little spreadsheet and he goes, what the? How the? You're gone. Bring in some boxes and HR. You're out of here. Pack your bags, man. That was the funniest thing.
That was a
thing.
Long time coming. And unfortunately, that team has got to almost do like a reboot. You know, and just, I mean, keep a few guys like Calvin Johnson and maybe if they can get Kevin Smith on back on track. And I think Rudy Johnson is a good pick up there. But the defense has just got to be completely overhauled. They can't stop anybody. And what have they
defense?
Lost, like 24 straight games on the road? I mean, that's three seasons of losing every game on the road. It's ridiculous.
They basically,
like I say, you go on the road, you cannot win.
You said reboot. I've got a better line for you. They have the blue screen of death.
How about the gray screen of death?
That's for Max.
Yeah,
you have the gray screen of death. On Windows, you got the blue screen of death, or the spinning beach ball of death, as it's known. So that's going on in Detroit. The New Orleans Saints, shocking news, tight end Jeremy Shockey out until, I'm saying, at least week 9 with a sports hernia surgery. It's been bothering him for a few weeks. He says he could be back in 3 weeks. I believe he's actually human. Call me crazy.
The one thing about him in New York was he could never stay healthy. And I love the guy. He plays so tough, but the way he plays, it almost like invites injuries.
It does.
And so there's no doubting his talent. Catching the ball, you know, running good routes, and even he does block, although he doesn't like to, of course. But, I mean, can you see the guys in New York going, yeah, we saw that this was going to come, you know, so they don't have to deal with it anymore. I like the guy. I've got his jersey hanging up in my closet, but, you know, I'm not surprised at all, and I think he's gone for at least 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, no, I looked at the schedule, and it's like, no, it's going to be week 9 at best case scenario. Now, do you believe in that we could actually be seeing Espen, the magazine, the curse? Similar to the SI curse. He was on the cover of ESPN, the magazine, last week.
Who?
Jeremy Shockey.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yes, before the game. He was last week's cover boy, flexing and looking all mean and everything. And then, boom, sports hernia surgery next week. ESPN, the magazine, the curse. Just something to be mindful of and to pay a little bit of attention to.
Got to keep track of that to see how many. I mean, who's on the cover the week before? Marques Colston?
I don't know. I wasn't really paying any attention.
Nate Burleson?
I don't get the next copy till tomorrow, so we don't find out who dies till
before
tomorrow.
Before week one, Tony Romo was on the cover, and he looked pretty good week one.
He's looked all right, I suppose.
I hope so. I've got my fingers crossed here. I've got him in a couple of leagues. And, you know,
so
I need him.
In Steel City, we got Big Ben Roethlisberger already had a questionable shoulder. Now he has a bad hand. And it didn't help that he got thrown to the ground aggressively 8 times.
Oh,
in
I was
that
about
game.
To. That's it? Because I would think he's got a questionable shoulder. He's got a bum knee. He's
and
got
probably concussed.
Bruises on his head. He's got. Yeah. He got beat down against the Eagles.
He actually resembled the guy probably after the auto wreck. Because, I mean, honestly, he looked like one of those old-fashioned football players who wore the leather helmets.
He was the crash test dummy. That's what it looked like.
Mud all over his face.
You want to know how tough Big Ben is, though? He is not on the injury report right now.
Well,
they expect him to start. He practiced today, and everything's good. They got a problem to the running back position where Willie Parker all of a sudden showed up Tuesday, and they said, oh, he sprained his knee towards the end of the game. He's out probably at least 1, if not 2 or 3 weeks. You got Rashard Mendenhall, the rookie, is going to start. Melwande Waller is going to come in and catch some passes and give him a change of pace. And so that's the biggest blow there for the Steelers.
And that brings us to not as fast Willie Parker, running back, Steelers. That was my injury report. Now, I have added a little segment real quickly here that I'm going to call right now. We'll work on a more permanent title. But for now, week 3.
Flashback.
Week 3 flashback. It's an accountability segment. Some listeners have asked for it. I've been thinking about it. Naz, I did not just choose to start this because you had a particularly bad week with clicks and flicks. I promise. I promise. And I had a particularly good week with clicks and flicks.
So we could have waited 1 week then.
We could have probably.
Seeing as I wasn't even here last week.
Well, I thought it'd go faster this week, and we just kind of, had highlighted.
Okay.
If you want, Naz, I mean, we could just skip you entirely, and we'd just do mine. And just to give a sampling
I'll face the fire here.
You'll stand by your picks.
Let's talk about the picks.
Okay.
And remember, I'm just giving you one in each position. When I do these picks to click and flick for my subscribers, I usually give 3 or 4 at each position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so here we go. So in our segment that we're, for the time being, calling week 3.
Flashback.
I clicked a quarterback, JT O'Sullivan, San Francisco versus Detroit. He had 2 touchdowns, 189 yards, equaled 18
very good
points.
Yes.
Running back Matt Fort, Chicago at Tampa Bay, 27 touches, 0 touchdowns, only 89 yards, got 8 points. Wide receiver Chancey Stuckey, New York Jets at San Diego, 6 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown, 10 points. And then tight end Tony Scheffler, Denver versus New Orleans. I was sure about this one. 4 catches, 32 yards, 1 point. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I blew that one big time.
That's 7 points in a PPR league, but still it's not that fantastic. That's not that bad.
Now, Michael, you had, I don't expect you to have it in front of you. I just actually had to go back and listen to the show to do it. So I was glad that Steven wasn't here because then it would have been even more listening. Quarterback Jake Delhomme, Carolina at Minnesota.
Ouch.
0 TDs Ouch. And 3 fumbles, 191 yards, 3 points.
Oh, bring up the fumbles.
3 points.
Yeah, I was disappointed in his. Yeah, you got to give him a little bit more time. He's got to get the chemistry back with Steve Smith there. I thought there would be immediate connection. And actually, there was 1 catch early on, and then he only caught 3 the rest of the game. Minnesota really came with the heat, and Antoine Winfield sacked him from the blind side and caused a fumble and got the grand slam, as they like to call it. You know, the sack, the fumble, the forced fumble,
the fumble recovery, and the touchdown.
So that was huge in IDP leagues.
Yes.
So at running back, you started Kevin Smith, Detroit at San Francisco, 3 carries, 14 yards, 1 point.
Kevin Smith, I did. Rudy Johnson has that job now.
Now, wide receiver, Justin Gage, Tennessee versus Houston, 0 catches. Well, that equals 0 points.
That was, of course, later in the week, we found out that he was injured and then he was going to play. And his replacement, Justin McCarron, did catch 4 catches for 90 yards.
Okay,
a pretty good
so
game.
You wouldn't have started him no
he's
matter
gonna
what.
He's going to play this week. He practiced today. He's not even on the injury report. Actually, McCarron's was on the injury report. So, you know, these things change from day to day. When you get to Fridays, you know, you pick somebody on Monday
or
Tuesday.
Well, yeah, we're doing this early. I mean, and the reason we do it early is to give people as much time as they can to have the content out there.
Right.
So, but again, we're far better than a magazine that was published 7 months ago. I just keep having to tell people, go out to your site and pay for your stuff because it's good stuff. Tight end Justin Carlson, Seattle versus St. Louis, 2 catches, 38 yards for 3 points. And that totaled 7 points in your clicks. I got 37. Now, on the flick side of things, I did really well except for one position. I flicked Derek Anderson, Cleveland at Baltimore, 3 picks, 1 touchdown, 3 points. Running back Chris Perry, here's where I missed it. Should not have flicked Chris Perry. At New York Giants, 20 carries, 74 yards, 1 touchdown, 14 points. That was a good week.
He looked very good in that game. I watched that game.
Now,
every bit of it, yeah.
Here's where I took heat from you, Mr. Nazarek, on my next two. Wide receiver Braylon Edwards at Cleveland at Baltimore, 3 catches, 27 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 points.
And yeah, I've just been willing him to catch the ball when it's thrown to him instead of dropping it. So,
he likes to drop it. Boy. And then finally, tight end Kellen Winslow. You can't. You said, in fact, I heard it again today as I was playing it. That's a click, right? No, Kellen Winslow's a flick. Cleveland at Baltimore, 2 catches.
Well, you call that one, but I tell you, you know, I mean, if you own Kellen Winslow, you're going to start him every week if it's a tight end required lead. He's going to have some good games and some bad games, and I think that team, the offense is going to come around this week. Of course, they're playing the Bengals, so.
That helps.
We'll see. That helps.
So 2 catches, 14 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 1 point for Kellen Winslow. Now, you flick Carson Palmer, Cincinnati at New York Giants, because your Giants are that good. And he went for 286 yards, a touchdown, and did have a fumble, but that's 17 points.
That's not bad. Very good against the Giants.
And running back, Edgerrin James, Arizona at Washington. Who would have thunk? 18 carries, 93 yards, 8 points.
Yeah, but he didn't score, did he?
No, but still, for Edgerrin James to get 93 yards these days is like a solar eclipse.
He actually got 100 in week one, but he didn't score. He hasn't scored yet today. So, I mean, the bottom line is most people drafted him probably as a number two running back, and you want scores out of your number two running back, and he's very iffy to get 90 or 100 yards. And there's he had a week earlier this year, I think, week two, where he had like 30 or 40 yards.
No, the fact that 8 points is a huge week for him tells you what you need to know. Wide receiver Bernard Berry in Minnesota at Tennessee, 3 catches, 79 yards, 7 points. You pretty much got that one. Tight end,
he stepped up a little bit.
Now, you flicked all Miami tight ends. Must point out Fasano, 3 catches.
Anthony Fasano made his appearance again.
66 yards, a touchdown,
up
12
and down,
points.
Up and down. What are you going to do with a guy, you know, get 0 1 week and then 20 the next and then 0 the next and 20 the next? I stay away from him. But, I mean, I hyped him in the summer, so if they can get some kind of consistency where they're actually getting the ball to him on a more regular basis, then, yeah, I mean, he's probably become a click more often than a flick.
Okay, so for the listeners that were waiting for some sort of accountability on our clicks and flicks, we just did it, and that was the week 3.
Flashback.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't around.
but you're in for the week 4 flashback segment.
I will tell you that the Dallas Cowboys versus the rest of the NFL league.
I've been getting a lot of questions about that. How's that team coming?
Dallas Cowboys are 3-0 right now.
All right. I mean, good for you.
Just like real life.
Just like real life.
Do you, do, Do you have Miles Austin on that team?
I did, but I had him on the bench. I started Creighton.
Oh,
who would have thought?
Did you start Patrick Creighton ahead of him last week?
I did.
What
I
about
did.
Davis.
Not this week.
I know, but who could have known that? No, but I mean, Romo's done very well, and I mean, come on, Barber's a beast. So
yeah,
and Witten is leading the league in most performance. Even though what is he? I'm not even sure. Has Witten even scored yet this year?
No. He has gotten.
I think he has. He's like catching seven, eight passes, 100 yards. So in a performance,
yes.
Especially, you know, I know in a PBR league, he's leading the fantasy tight end world right now.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten in the end zone, but he's gotten a ton of yards and a ton of catches. The starting lineup, I haven't changed it in 3 weeks. It's been Romo, Marion Barber, Felix Jones, T.O., Patrick Creighton, Jason Witten, Nick Folk, and the Dallas defense. I haven't changed it in 3 weeks, and they're averaging 90 points a week.
Wow. That's well, really Felix incredible. Jones scores like every time he touches the ball,
exactly.
Once every eight times he scores, and he touches about eight times a game, so he scores once a game. But the only position where you can really tweak it is the number two wide receiver, and you can either Creighton or Austin
I'm definitely moving Miles Austin into starting lineup this week.
Mike, Steven?
Yeah.
That was what's his name again?
Matt Millen?
No, your running back.
Oh, Felix Jones.
That was Felix Jones. Wait. Here he comes again. Yeah, that's Felix Jones, okay? That's how fast he is. The guy just flies.
I couldn't believe that T.O. actually kept up with him. Did you see that when he
was
down the
awesome.
Line?
That
throwing
was awesome.
A block. T.O. loves to block. People do not give him enough credit.
I think T.O. just
and
likes
to run.
How old
is T.O. now? Is
38. 39.
38?
Yeah, 38, I believe.
And
38,
the
man.
Dude
that
loves the game.
Phenomenal.
He loves all aspects of the game. So anyways, that gets us to our world famous clicks and flicks section. So let's... All right, click, click, click. These are guys to make sure that you got.
Click, click, click. We'll start with the quarterback position. Nez, we'll start with you. Make sure it's good because next week Jeff's going to throw it in our face.
You're going to throw it in your face, huh? Hold on just a sec here. I got to get, okay, right up here on my computer.
Okay.
I'm going to preface this, first of all, by saying that we all kind of, you know, we want to make sure that we don't have the same clicks and flicks each week.
Right,
that's true.
And so we traded emails today, and Jeff sent the first email out, so he got his first choice. So some of those may have been my choices, but I've got to go with kind of a second choice here.
Don't boom. It's
no, that's
true.
The people booing me
you
for
got
going
the first.
First
choice. Yeah.
Look, Steven's the one who prompted me to send out the email. He says, if I don't get to bed by a certain hour, the doctor's going to come to my house and kick my butt.
I should be in bed
so
right now.
I don't mind having accountability, but I think what we should do is rotate each week.
Totally
somebody
agree.
Gets to do be first.
Yes.
Someone different each week.
Yes.
So,
I totally agree.
You know,
so how about whoever
Jeff,
gets out
you
the first email?
You were first this week. I was second, and then Steven was third, and then we'll rotate.
Whoever yes. gets out the first
no,
email.
No, tomorrow next week, Naz goes first. I go second. You go last.
All right, that's fair.
And then we'll finally. I'll go first. You
but
go
just
second,
make sure that you get him in before 9 o'clock, because
yes.
otherwise, okay. then it defeats the whole purpose.
It does. It does.
Okay, now who did I flick last week at quarterback position? That was
Carson Palmer.
Right?
The guy with 17 points. Yeah.
Well, I'm clicking him this week. they're at home. They're in a must-win situation. They're playing better than the Browns. They're playing the Browns. The Browns' defense sucks.
Everybody's
and,
playing better
I,
than the Browns.
Carson Palmer's going to actually throw for multiple TDs in this game. One's going to go to Hush, and one's going to go to Ocho. And so you click him.
I couldn't agree more.
I agree, too.
I was going to click him, and I decided to leave the obvious out there for someone else.
All right.
So see, just because I went first doesn't mean I was stealing. I'm clicking Buffalo Trent Edwards. He put up a consistent 12 points per week against good defenses, okay? Every week, 12 points, 13 points. Now he gets the special treat of playing the Lambs. Look for multiple TDs and that elusive 20-plus point game from Trent Edwards.
All right.
You know who Trent Edwards is this year? He's the David Garrard of last year. Remember David Garrard was almost throwing 200 yards and a score?
No mistakes.
That's right, and no picks, and this is Trent Edwards. So this is a great week to start him, especially you know if you've got him as your backup and somebody like Peyton Manning's on a bye, then you just plug in Trent.
Well, I think I got a good one this week, and that's San Francisco quarterback JT O'Sullivan. Top of the morning to
you. Oh, yeah, Mr. O'Sullivan.
He goes up against an awful New Orleans Saints secondary. I expect multiple scores from him this week. going against the Saints, I like
Jameis. Funny, all three of these quarterbacks are three of my four on my list of clicks.
Really? There you go. See? See, we know what we're doing sometimes.
We do. Yeah. Even non-collaboratively. And Michael, what do you got?
Running back
for,
position.
For running back, I like Thomas Jones this week. Of course, he got off to a slow start on Monday night against the Chargers, and then, of course, the Jets fell way behind, so they pulled him off the field. He wasn't involved. They had Leon Washington in there catching passes and basically just throwing slants to the wideouts. Well, this week they're playing at home against the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to be able to run the ball, and when they get down inside the red zone, he's going to get the ball and he's going to score. So I clicked Thomas Jones this week.
Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones of the New York Jets. Jeffrey, running back.
Running back, I'm clicking on that I'm liking Steve Slayton out of Houston, man.
Rookie, going with a rook.
One of my preseason guys to grab, and he was finally given his first start last week, and he did not disappoint, ripping off 17 points against the Titans.
That was unbelievable, the fact that he ran for over 100 yards and scored against
which is why I say at the Jags, just look for more of the same. I mean, because the Jags are very good also, but the Titans are amazing at stopping the run.
Right.
It's a tough stretch for the Texans, and when you go through that tough stretch where you've got a lot of – I can't even talk. You got a lot of games on the road. What do? You fall back on clock management and using your running backs a lot.
Okay.
And so that's why I think Steve Slayton's going to get a big-time load this week.
All right, running back, I'm looking to Cincinnati's Chris Perry. You can run against the Cleveland Browns, and that's who he's up against this week at home. And Cincinnati's finally showing, you know, a little bit of life on the offensive side of the ball, and Chris Perry is showing he is the guy. Cincinnati made the right choice to make him the starter, and I expect big numbers from him this week.
Yeah, he's playing better and better every week. Scored last week. I think he's going to score again this week, and he's making everybody forget. Rudy who?
Yeah, Rudy what? All right, Jeffrey, we're going to move to you with the wide receivers.
All right, in the wideout department, I'm clicking on Tampa Bay's Antonio Bryant at Green Bay, making the loss of Joey Galloway a distant memory. Last week at Chicago, he got 10 catches for 138 yards and 13 points. Still available in 9 out of 10 leagues, people. Antonio Bryant, go get him.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
One of the things about Jeff Ellis's clicks, I'm trying to find value for people.
Okay, value, yes.
Especially
this week.
He's
going to be a hot pickup this week, but I'm not quite sure if he can repeat that. I remember Brian Greasy threw 67 times against the Chicago Bear defense that basically shut down the run. Ernest Graham had almost 0 points in that game.
Very true.
Bryant's probably going to start again this week because Joey Galloway still got the foot issue, but I'm not quite sure if he's going to catch 10 passes.
All right, at wide receiver, I've got San Diego Chargers' Vincent Jackson. They've got the Oakland Raiders this week, and everybody scores against the Oakland Raiders.
Except for girls.
And although although Chris Chambers is going to see a lot of action from Phillip Rivers, I believe Jackson will see his share of catches and possibly get in the end zone this week against the Raiders. Naz, wide receiver, who are you flicking? Who are you clicking?
Sorry, well, I'm going to stick my neck out on the line here. Ocho Cinco's got to step up.
Ocho Cinco!
this is the week, guys. Everyone's saying he's got, like, what, 6 or 7 catches for 88 yards or something in the season. And they just talked to him today, and he said, hey, I got rid of the harness, okay? So my shoulder's fine. I'm biding my time. I'm going to have my opportunities. I usually start off slow, but, you know, things will come around, and they're playing the Browns at home, so believe it or not, Carson Palmer's going to get time to actually have a few 5- and 7-step drops, and that's going to give Ocho time to get down the field and, you know, throw a long one down there. And I just can see a 70-yard touchdown pass right happening this week with Ocho.
Here is his stat line: 8 catches, 88 yards, no touchdowns in 3 games. So you're really going.
88 yards, yeah.
You're really going out on the limb.
I think he's going to surpass those numbers this week. I'm not sure about the 8 catches, but I think the 88 yards he's going to get beyond that this week. We'll see.
All right, Ocho Cinco. Let's move to tight ends. I'll pick it up where I am clicking Buffalo Bill tight end Robert Royal. He's going against the Rams secondary, and they just don't seem to cover the tight ends very well. Tight ends always seem to
sneaky. Is there
someone
that they cover well?
Well, no, it's the Rams secondary. They're pretty weak.
I was just wondering if there's anyone that they cover well.
No, I didn't think so.
Okay. So, yeah, Robert Royal, that's a great start.
Buffalo Bills against the Rams secondary. Naz, tight end, who do you like?
I like Owen Daniels in Houston. He's starting to heat up. He had a slow start in week one, and then, of course, he had the bye for the hurricane bye. But last week he had four catches for 70-something yards, and he almost caught a touchdown. It would have been a very tough catch, but he's getting more looks in the red zone too. So I just got a feeling he's going to score this week, and I click him.
Got it. Owen Daniels.
You know, I had Owen Daniels too, and then I saw your email, and I was like, darn it, Nez!
It's all about sequence.
Find somebody else. So there
but
you
don't
go.
Worry, Naz gets to go first next week.
That's right. Okay, so it's time for flicks. Do you have a little sound for flicks?
Yeah, I actually do. What we've got, we came up with last week with you out was, where's, there we go.
Going to the bench.
Hey, I've heard that before.
I made that for your Dallas Cowboys show.
Yes, you did.
But it just, why go to waste?
I am getting tons of emails.
I'm sure you are, but you're like, dude.
To bring it back. I have promised, though,
Regis Philbin,
when I get healthy, that show's coming back because I miss it.
To quote Regis Philbin, you're only one man.
Yes, I am.
And that was the title of his autobiography, I'm Only One Man.
All right, flicking. I'm going to start at the quarterback position. Chicago Bears quarterback Kyle Orton. Did you see what the Eagles did to Ben Roethlisberger last week? Kyle Orton may die on the field this week, okay?
That could be very ugly.
It was nearly criminal.
I wouldn't touch Orton this week with a 10-foot pole, so there you go.
All right.
Flick him, keep him on your bench, pick somebody else up. Do not start Kyle Orton.
All right.
Naz, who you got?
Well, I had Orton until you took him, so I'm changing my pick now. I could have taken the easy route here and said, well, Mark Bulger, oh, he's benched. Well, Tyler Pigment, no, he's benched. So I'm going to go with Matt Ryan, who's actually starting for Atlanta. He's a rookie. He's had a pretty good start so far to his career, a couple of games, a couple of long touchdowns. But he struggled in week two, better defense, and they're playing Carolina this week. So I don't think it's going to be too pretty this week. Maybe 160 yards. I'm not sure if he's going to throw a score.
Yeah, he's had success against Kansas City and Detroit, but when he had to play, who did he play week two that they just killed him? Tampa Bay. Roughed him up a little bit. So
there you go. He struggled. I know he didn't have a touchdown pass in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's gonna have a hard time of it against the Carolina Panthers. Jeffrey?
And unfortunately, I get to flick the easy one, Big Ben. His shoulder clearly affected him last week. His production was horrible while he was in there, and now he's hurt his hand. He has lost his running game with not-so-fast-anymore Willie Parker, and the Ravens' defense is very, very good. Don't touch him at all, assuming he's even playing. I would start Byron Leftwich for no other reason. You're playing the Ravens and let him get beaten on, you know? Give Ben.
Yeah, it's funny. We're just piling on the Big Ben here. So you remember Steven, at the beginning, back in the summer, when we were having a debate about Big Ben and Dominic McNabb, and you said you've never drafted Dominic McNabb because he was never going to be the same quarterback. Well, do you change your opinion on that one?
Well, I mean, I had up until he got hurt this week.
Until he bruised his sternum.
And I know it wasn't significant.
It's
He was able to come back on the field, but I just, you know, it's a little,
it's
week
really
three.
Early.
It's week three.
It's early. It's early, but I like the way he started. And I have him on half my team, so.
You better have a backup.
I'm 3-0 or 2-1 in those teams, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, but, yeah, I guess I shouldn't be talking about this because, you know, they're to turn around and someone else is going to be injured. It's funny how all the teams are hiding all these injuries, and all of a sudden, when they have to talk to the media, either on Tuesday or Wednesday, all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Marcus Colson's going to be out for 6 weeks because of his thumb, and we didn't want to tell anyone. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah, how did that happen? Yeah,
they're taking the cue from Belichick.
Yeah, you know? McNabb's looking pretty good. He did struggle last week against the Steelers. And he got hurt. So let's see how he comes out this week. The Eagles are they on the road, I believe, this week?
Yeah, they're playing in Chicago.
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
I like him this week. He's top six quarterback, in my opinion. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Okay, let me get us started at running back here. I am flicking as hard as I can. Rashard Mendenhall.
Ooh.
We know this is the break. Everyone who handcuffed, you know, fast Willie Parker has been looking to.
Yes.
Everybody and their brother. It's like, oh, I had a handcuff. Oh, Rashard Mendenhall. He was amazing. Did you see his time in the 40?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, this guy's amazing. He's the second coming of
So you just don't like the Steelers against Baltimore this week.
I don't like Steelers against Baltimore, and I don't like his fumbleitis in the preseason. And the other options they've got for Mike Tomlin, they've got Kerry Davis, and they got Mawaldi Moore. And they're hosting Baltimore, so I just say not this week.
It's funny, though. He saw some carries in week one, and then he disappeared the last couple of weeks here. And
they don't trust
all of a sudden,
him
because
he fumbled week one. That's what it was.
Mike Tomlin said, hey, Mendenhall's going to start. We have every confidence in him. So we're going to see real quickly, maybe if he gets off to a 5-carry for 2-yard start, is he going to get the next 5 carries, or is it going to be one of the other guys?
Michael, I want you to know and realize how much – his team did not appreciate his fumbling and how much of an impression they tried to make on him. He was required by his teammates to carry a football when he was not on the field.
During the
entire preseason. I mean, it was like if anyone saw him without a football, they could like punch him in the arm.
That's right. Well, then didn't they also tell the teammates said that we're going to try and make you fumble the ball too?
Oh, yeah.
Like sneak up behind him and try and fumble, make him fumble it.
Absolutely.
So, you know. They wanted him on guard. They wanted him to hold on to that ball.
They wanted to make a huge impression on him, and we'll see if they did, because I suspect that he will see a lot of touches, but I don't know what to expect from him at all, which is why I'm flicking him, because I know there's so much pent up. Dude, he's been on my bench, and now's my chance. I'm saying just give him a week. Give him a week. So that's it. You guys, come on. Chime in. Anyone? Bueller?
What? My flick? At running back this week is Willis Mahi. He's got a cut eyelid. He was in and out of the game last week, and then when they wanted to salt the game away, they turned to LaRon McClain, which is going to be picked up in a lot of leagues this week. They're going to be rotating the backs in and out of backfield, and, of course, the Steelers do have a pretty good defense. So I wouldn't expect too much out of McGahee. He might get 50, 60 yards outside of a chance of a score. But if he's got that bad eyelid, you know, it was swollen up pretty good early in the week, then he might not play at all. It depends on how it heals the rest of this week.
Yeah, I think it's important to be able to see the field if you're going to run.
Yeah. That's necessary.
Especially the guys that are trying to kill you.
All right, I'm going out on a little limb myself here.
Limb time.
For running backs.
Everybody,
and I am
limbo.
Flicking running back Ryan Grant of the Green Bay Packers. He hasn't impressed thus far this season. He's got the injury that he's, you know, battling. And this week he goes up against a very, very tough Bucs defense. That doesn't bode well for him. And I think I need to see a little bit more from Ryan Grant before I go out and say start him. So I'm saying flick him this week.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. Look at the numbers. They speak for themselves.
All right. Wide receivers, I will start first. And this one might be pretty easy, but I'm going to go ahead and make sure that you don't do it anyways. Oakland Raiders, Curry is Curry, okay? I mean,
now some people love Curry.
The Raiders are just
I
bad.
Love Curry too, but
I
not,
like
not
Indian
raw Curry.
Food, but I'm not real big on heavy Curry.
And look, he had a solid preseason. I mean, he was looking really good. And this regular season, he has been non-existent. I mean,
he scored in week one, catching all of 2 passes, and has been the last 2 weeks.
He's been completely
gone. I don't
know
what's going on there. You would think that hello, I'm the number one receiver here.
Maybe
Jamal Walker can't get free. I can. Give me the ball.
For some reason, Jamarcus Russell isn't looking his way. And I wouldn't start Curry this week.
I bet they had a hissy fit.
Something.
Or I bet that he was at the press conference, and maybe he's the one who leaked the memo to ESPN.
There you go.
About coach getting fired.
Memo leakage.
Anyways, at the running back position.
Wide receiver.
I already did Rashard Mendenhall, didn't
yeah,
I? So now we're on to wide receivers. I got Baltimore's Derek Mason at Pittsburgh. Rookie quarterback trying to get him the ball in a hostile environment. Only managed 4 catches and 0 TDs in his 2 starts thus far. Those 2 games were against really poor defenses from the state of Ohio. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
I think you can do the math from there.
What, about 4 for 40 in both games? So if you're in a non-PPR system, that's 4 points at most. And if you only get 1 point for every 20 yards, it's 2 points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't like him either.
Flicking Derek Mason. Never thought I'd say it because, I mean, he has really been a stalwart of the wide receiving core.
He needs a semi-decent quarterback that actually get him the ball.
Ah.
And Flacco's just not quite at that stage yet.
Giving him a lot of flack, man.
All
now,
right.
You remember Mike Flake earlier when we were talking Steven's favorite team, a certain player,
Patrick
wide receiver
Creighton.
That wasn't doing much, Patrick Creighton. Flick him this week. I mean, obviously there's a chance that he could catch two or three passes and one of them could be a long one. But, I mean, he's been almost non-existent the last 2 weeks. He's got the talent, but they don't seem to be targeting him. And in a situation where you got the buys and you got maybe Creighton sitting there and somebody like a Lance Moore from New Orleans Saints that's probably going to start, especially if David Patton, who didn't practice today because of his groin, he's not going to, if he doesn't play, Lance Moore will start. You got just as good a quarterback there in Drew Brees. I would probably go with Lance Moore because he had seven catches last week. Patrick Creighton's going to be up and down the entire year, and unless he shows a little bit more consistency, I'm going to flick him.
Oh, man. Now I got a dilemma.
Well, what's your dilemma?
Do I start him or do I
sit
him?
Plug in
Miles Austin.
Yeah,
the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't go
all
point,
Dallas
Jason.
Cowboys,
don't go point,
I will
Jason.
Do that. I'm going to chase him.
You're going to chase the points?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Tight end. We'll end up with Naz. Give us a tight end to flick.
Yeah, well, just like Ronald Curry in Oakland, poor Zach Miller hasn't been getting any love even from Jamarcus Russell. Basically, Jamarcus hadn't been looking anywhere. I don't know what he's been doing, but Zach, I mean, he's a good red zone threat, too, and yet he's just not being used. They get near the goal line. In fact, I guess Jamarcus says, I'm going to call my number, and he ends up rushing in for a score against Buffalo there. So, Zach, I've got him on a couple of my teams. I actually had to start him when Owen Daniels was on his hurricane bye in week two. Got a whopping 2 points, at least. He did better than that in that week than he did last week with zero. So, I'm gonna flick him until he does something, until he scores.
That's a good idea.
All right, Jeffrey, your tight end flick.
All right, my flickable tight end is Dermot, please. San Francisco's Vernon Davis at New Orleans.
They don't.
Mike Martz, tight end curse has claimed another fantasy victim.
Yeah.
He seems
overrated.
That's not true. Vernon Davis saved my fantasy butt a couple of years ago until he broke his fibula.
A couple of years ago? Was that the one game he produced?
No, a couple of years ago, several games until he broke his fibula or something like that.
The deal is Mike Martz seems to be getting
more blocking assignments, and Mike Martz is just not tight end crazy.
Yeah, has
four
never
catches.
What they do is that they like to target him deep about two times, maybe three at most, each game. And if they don't hit him, then he doesn't get his points, and they haven't been hitting him. Delanie Walker actually caught a touchdown pass last week, and he had more passes thrown to him. He's not nearly as talented as Vernon Davis, but you know he just doesn't fit the system there, and the way they're using him is not very conducive for fantasy owners.
It's a shame because he's still a young player that I think has a huge promising upside if he can stay healthy. But four catches in 3 weeks is not going to get it done on anybody on my team, so you're sitting.
Right. Yep.
All right, I'm sitting Cincinnati Bengal Ben Utek. This guy, ditto to Ronald Curry, has just been non-existent in the regular season all year long. He's got 1 point.
Last week he was injured. There was a reason for that. However, he did practice today, and they expect him to play. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to rely on somebody that's coming off an injury like that, then you're probably not starting the right person.
Yeah. Utek's not the guy, and I'm just not sure that Cincinnati and Carson Palmer is ready to start throwing to the tight end again. So that is why I would sit him.
There it is. That gets us through our clicks and flicks. Thank you, gentlemen, for your input.
Yes,
thank you.
Always a pleasure. Once again, for more information and for more of these clicks and flicks, as Naz said, he puts out several of these at every position. Check him out, www.ffmastermind.com. I love your stuff, Naz. It helps me set up the lineups on all my teams.
Yep.
Well, it's glad to have you back on the show, Steven. I'm looking forward to next week. And also, when we get through 4 weeks here, it's very important. You got to sit back. You got to take a look at your team. If they're not getting the job done, if you're 1-3, or heaven to bet, if you're going to be 0-4, then you got to start making some trades. On the site this coming Friday, we're going to do our first redrafter rankings. That's where
excellent.
We take a look
I
at the entire league as a whole and do all the rankings, and they're all tiered out. for the rest of the season. So it's going to give a lot of all of our subscribers a good heads up on who they should be looking to trade for, who are they going to look for trade away, things like that. We factor in all the buys and all the injuries and situations, and of course Plaxico Burress has been suspended. He's appealing that. You know, he had a family emergency type situation. We take that into account.
And he can't answer the phone.
That's right. He can't answer the phone.
Sometimes
I don't know. Either that or he couldn't call out. And one more thing I wanted to let everyone know is that we've prorated our newsletter price down to $24.95 for the rest of the season. So, you know, if you want to try us out, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, great deal.
Right, excellent.
Okay, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on the waiver watch. JT O'Sullivan still out there in 50% of leagues. Go figure. I don't buy that. That's unbelievable.
Makes no sense there. I mean, he's got a great matchup again this week against the Saints. So, I mean,
you got to remember, too, 50% of those ESPN leagues, there are a whole bunch of free leagues that people aren't probably even monitoring.
Even playing. Yeah, okay. So. True.
You'd be surprised, though, because these people just, I mean, people that just play in work situations, they're doing it for bragging rights, but it's important, and there will be people that just kind of are not that into it, and they'll overlook players like this.
Man.
And this is where people that are smart and listen to us on the podcast here get a tip about it, and then they make the move, and then they win their game because of it, and, you know, that's, everybody's happy.
I don't have anybody at running back this week, but at wide receiver I got Brandon Lloyd in Chicago without Devin Hester. He seems to really have a unique relationship with Kyle Orton that I think is working well. And
I would not have believed it until I've seen it. But also,
nobody wants to like Brandon Lloyd. Everyone wants to hate him because he's never performed. He's always overpromised and underdelivered. Well,
I believe the wide receiver coach there was his coach from college. So
maybe that's
it. It's kind of like Bill Parcells and Terry Glenn. You know, the certain coaches get the best out of the player, and he does have some kind of good chemistry there with Kyle Orton. And I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it, but this is 2 weeks in a row. So, I mean, if he's out there, you got to grab him. Heck, I'm going out there grabbing him off of waiver wire. And this is a guy that couldn't even catch flies in a mud pit there in Washington.
He couldn't catch pneumonia in a rainstorm, okay?
Yeah,
Josh Reed of Buffalo, his numbers have climbed each week. He and Trent Edwards are getting comfortable with each other, and he's out there everywhere. He's owned in like 0.03% of leagues, okay? Josh Reed. And at tight end,
fantastic,
obviously, keep looking at the Miami tight ends. Anthony Fasano should be your number one guy to look for. But they are clearly targeting that position a great deal. So that's what I got on Waiver Watch. That's what we got.
All right, Nez, thank you for another great show. And remember next week, get ready and make sure you watch all your guys.
Because we're going to be doing week 4.
Flashback.
And we're held accountable for our clicks and flicks. And we're
all right,
we'll give you the tongues.
I'll be ready for that.
All right, man. You have a great weekend. And enjoy week 4.
Hey guys, it's finally under 100 degrees. Although it may get up to 99 tomorrow, but
hey, it's autumn.
We're getting into that's right. We're getting in October here in Vegas. We're going to be around 90. Oh, by the way, this past week was my birthday. I turned 43 on Monday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Wait,
look at that.
It's your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey.
There you go.
I love it, guys. Thank you very much.
You're
welcome. I guess we'll talk next week.
Happy belated birthday, and we'll see you later.
Okay, take care and good luck this week, guys.
Hey to the missus.
This has been
Steve Miranda
and Jeff Ellis and
Michael Nazarek.
Mike Nazarek.
I didn't know if you were still there, dude.
And I'm actually wanting Jeff to play the Mastermind Edge.
Oh,
that's really
I'm
what
sorry.
I'm...
You've been listening to
the Mastermind Edge.
All right, Jeffrey, that's all the time we've got tonight. I'm a little interested with this whole we're going to flashback stuff.
I think
it
adds
weird.
A really cool element to the show, and I think if we keep
cool
track,
element or the ability to rub it in other people's faces.
Well, I think that's part of the reason that people listen is to
really?
Get good information, but they also look, if you play fantasy football, you're competitive.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got three guys that do a show that are competitive.
Yes.
And that like to consider themselves somewhat fantasy experts. So let's
but
see.
But how are you and Naz going to feel every week when
losing
like,
to
all,
you?
Yeah, every week. That's not going to.
Yeah, I don't necessarily
after a while,
see that happening.
After a while, that's not going to be too good for you guys, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that happening. No.
All right. Well, this has been Steven Miranda.
Work it, work, busy bee!
And Jeff Ellis.
For Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. See you next week.